two separate items. The first is a report. The second item is an ordinance. Sue, could you read them together, 571 and 572, please?
571, transmit East Portland Action Plan 2018 annual presentation. 572, authorize $169,491 total in grant funds for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement East Portland Action Plan 2018 grant program and municipal partnership.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Hello, everybody. The East Portland Action Plan was created to provide leadership and guidance to public agencies and other entities on how to strategically address community-identified issues and allocate resources to improve livability and prevent displacement in East Portland. Today's presentation is the annual report to Council on the progress made toward EPAP's strategic goals. With that, I will hand it off to Katie Larcell and John Mulvey, I hope. Are they here?
John's here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what my notes say. So we'll skip that page and go straight to run of show. Is Karen Fisher Gray here?
There she is.
Welcome.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Nick. Good afternoon. Good to see you.
Good afternoon. It's so nice to see you all. So good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. My name is Karen Fisher Gray, and I am the superintendent of the Park Rose School District. I have been the superintendent of the Park Rose School District since 2007, and on June 18th, I will become the superintendent of the Lincoln County School District. It is my distinct honor to serve as the chair for the Oregon Educator Equity Advisory Group, an action group created by the Chief Education Office of the Governor. I am also an original member of the East Portland Action Plan Committee and have been a strong advocate of all things East Portland. I was a planning and sustainability commissioner under two mayors, and it remains one of my proudest positions as a community member of the City of Portland. I am also the 2018 Oregon Superintendent of the Year. The East Portland Action Plan has more than 260 action elements that include a strong emphasis on the development of infrastructure, transportation, housing, and economic development. We are working very hard to accomplish each and every one of these goals so that we can effectively create and improve healthy, connected neighborhoods and increased positive livability in East Portland. To that end, I would like to bring to your esteemed attention the concepts of our 2017-18 strategic priorities, our involuntary displacement prevention recommendations, and our analysis of 8 years of budget mapping. You have copies of the documents that support the aforementioned concepts, and now I would like to point out some of the highlights that will be discussed in more detail later on in our presentation. First off, the East Portland Action Plan strategic priorities. And I am simply going to read them, so I think they're important enough for us to hear. Set a goal that East Portland attains parity with other parts of the city in public facilities and capital spending. Institutionalize graphic mapping of city spending. Develop a quadrant plan for East Portland. Fund EPAP advocacy until the action plan is implemented. Engage ethnic communities in neighborhood activities. Establish racially and ethnically representative community oversight of community health worker programs. Fully fund the East Portland in Motion. Fund the Outer Powell Conceptual Design Plan. Prioritize East Portland pedestrian projects. Connect East Portland residents to family wage employment. Maximize East Portland's economic benefits from public projects. Promote catalyst workforce development projects in East Portland. Establish the Gateway Education Economic Development Center. Establish policy and practice that balances regional affordable and American Disabilities Act accessible housing supply. Increase opportunities for sustainable moderate income and minority home ownership. Fund a housing rehabilitation program. Implement existing park master plans. Connect lava dome areas to begin Forest Park East Trail. And finally, complete planning and design work for the Gateway Green Park project. Second, I would like to mention to the mayor and commissioners about the involuntary displacement prevention recommendations. The hallmark of these recommendations is civic engagement, and there is an entire process outlined that we would like to see the city follow as part of our community engagement work with East Portland. And so the recommendations to be implemented in these are not in any prioritized order are support East Portland Action Plan civic engagement grants, living wage provisions supported, local hiring, minority contracting, commercial stabilization and commercial rent stabilization, Community Reinvestment Act involvement, commercial transit-oriented development, owner-occupied ownership, rent stabilization, just cause eviction, broadening homeownership and cooperative ownership, and inclusionary zoning, which we now have, housing acquisition rehabilitation, no net loss affordable housing preservation ordinance, community benefits agreements, which are very important to the work that we do for East Portland, anti-displacement impact analysis. These are all headings of the strategy around anti-displacement procedures. They all have lots of definition under them, but we don't have time to talk about them all now. They're all important. And we also tried to build those into the comprehensive plan. They're all over the comprehensive plan and really worth noting. The final thing for me to say in my introductory comments are about the 8-year budget mapping analysis project, which you're going to hear more about from Nick Salvi in just a moment. But one thing that we wanted to point out that was really important is that because of the partnership between East Portland Action Plan and the city, over the last 8 years, $267 million more dollars have been increased to the work that we're doing in East Portland. And that's not small change. And we want you to know how much we appreciate that. And the fact that we have kind of, in effect, treasured what we've measured here around how we spend things across the city is important. So the City of Portland geographic budget mapping work demonstrates the importance of our partnership. There is so much more that needs to be done in this part of our great city, and I sincerely hope that the work that we do together continues with enthusiasm. Our next speakers are Nick Salvi to speak with you more about the 8-year budget mapping project analysis, and Natalie Areola to bring you the Civic Engagement Subcommittee report.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Nick Salvi. I'm the director of Rose Community Development. I'm on the EPAP Housing Subcommittee, and actually I was one of the people appointed to the original EPAP by then Chair Wheeler and Mayor Potter. And I've got a PowerPoint. I'm trusting somebody will do the technology there. To start, I'd like to thank City Council and the City Budget Office for their ongoing support for budget mapping. This is a valuable tool for transparency, decision-making, and advancing equity. To my knowledge, Portland is the only city in the U.S. that does this kind of mapping. This is a national model.
Nick,
for.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
We're very low-tech here, so in order to, you have to poke an arrow to make the slides go, just so you know.
Great. Okay.
So
thank
it's sort
you.
Of like a one-man band. Sorry about
I
that.
Can poke
oh no, not at all. Thanks for getting me in the loop. So some background that budget mapping was born out of the Great Recession. President Obama's stimulus legislation required jurisdictions to post on their websites the locations of projects funded by the federal stimulus. When I looked up the projects, I found that only 1% of the geographically targeted funds were going to East Portland. East Portland has more than 25% of the city's population and 40% of the school children, but was only getting 1% of these federal funds. This taught EPAP two things, that we measure what matters, and East Portland needed to speak up so we could get our projects in the pipeline. In 2011, Mayor Adams directed city bureaus to develop budget maps by district. This map shows both dollar investment and per capita investment. Per capita is measured per user, which is population plus jobs. In addition to investment, the bureaus also provide level of service maps. EPAP tracks performance of three key quality of life bureaus: housing, parks, and transportation. First, we'll look at housing. After 4 years of declining investment, Portland Housing Bureau has stepped up its game over the last 2 years. The 2018 total of $30.9 million is more than double what PHB produced in 2012. Now let's look at PHB's per capita performance. The red line equals 100%. If East Portland was getting its fair share, the black line would be at 100%. Despite the increased investment in 2017 and 2018, PHB has never attained a fair share of housing investment in East Portland. EPAP wants its share of bond funding and new sources of funding for housing and services to prevent displacement of people of color and low-income residents in our neighborhoods. Here are the comparable charts for Portland Parks and Recreation. Parks is the star of our show. EPAP is grateful to Commissioner Fritz and before her Commissioner Fitz for their commitment to equity in East Portland. Parks investment increased from $13.6 million in 2011 to $35.9 million in 2018. Even more importantly, Parks investment has exceeded fair share level for each of the last 4 years. As we know, equal is not the same as equity. Disinvested communities should get more resources until they catch up with more favored communities. Finally is transportation. Transportation dollars have more than tripled from $15.5 million in 2011 to $57.7 million in 2018. This includes significant investment in East Portland and Motion projects, as well as safety improvements from the local gas tax. I remember going back to the earliest EPAP meetings that improvements to Powell Boulevard has always been a top priority, and EPAP is thrilled to see those improvements starting to happen. Here we see that in 2018, for the first time, PBOT investment in East Portland exceeds the city per capita average. We'd like to see this trend continue. Add these totals together, and you see that housing, parks, and transportation funding for East Portland has increased by $267 million since 2011. This is significant, game-changing investment. Thank you again to City Council and to the bureaus. Your commitment is appreciated. Please be aware, however, that the risks come with increased investment. EPAP's goal is revitalization without displacement of people of color and low-income residents. Here's a map produced by Dr. Lisa Bates at PSU that shows gentrification and displacement patterns. You see, from 2000 to 2010, East Portland largely does not register on the map. This is the latest map. Almost the entirety of East Portland is lit up in various stages of gentrification. EPAP hopes you will continue your good work in directing investment our way. We also hope that you'll take much stronger measures toward programs and policies that will generate equitable neighborhoods throughout Portland and economic opportunities for East Portland and people of color and low-income residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Good afternoon. Mayor Ted Wheeler, City Commissioners. My name is Natalia Arreola with El Programa Hispano Católico, and I am part of the Civic Engagement Committee. I'm here to share some of our successes this year. I'm proud to say that the Civic Engagement Committee was able to advocate for the Multnomah County Capacitation Center program to held a community health worker training that was in Arabic language and culture specific. That was held for community health worker trainings. This fiscal year, fiscal year of 2017-2018, we were also able to successfully advocate for ONI to get $100,000 for translation, interpretation, and child care accommodation funds. The Civic Engagement Committee this year was also able to advocate for for the city's support for Sanctuary by providing legal aid services, and the mayor, thankfully, allocated $500,000 in the fiscal year of 2018 and 2019 budget. We did have, along with our successes, we did have some setbacks this year. We were unable to get overhead funding, the 0.5% overhead funding into the mayor's budget for fiscal year of 2017-2018, which was something that we were really looking forward to. However, we did have an example of a situation that happened at the David Douglas budget hearing, where at Division Midway Alliance asked for a Burmese interpreter for the city's budget hearing with a 2-day notice, and the city wasn't able to accommodate that request. So it's examples like these where interpreters weren't available to bring those kind of voices of historically oppressed communities to budget hearings, like the one at the Division Midway at W. Douglas. That we would like to continue pushing for the city to bring in overhead funding to our part of the fiscal budget. While we have been making great strides, we still look forward to continue working on obtaining that overhead funding in the near future. Want to thank you for your time and for your help. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Kate Keenan, Katie Larcel, and John Mulvey. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi. My name is Kate Kanan, and I am the Economic Opportunity Coordinator for Historic Park Rose, as well as the chair of East Portland Action Plan's Economic Development Subcommittee. And I am here to report on our successful advocacy around our strategic priorities. One strategic priority is to maximize East Portland's economic benefits from public projects. And on that, we have done advocacy around the Community Equity and Inclusion Plan, along with the Metropolitan Alliance for Workforce Equity. And our advocacy made the Community Equity and Inclusion Plan more robust, including compliance for tracking and fees for noncompliance. And we look forward to continuing this conversation as the CEIP comes up for renewal annually. We will continue to advocate for signatory page provisions for local hiring and local spending, as well as to lower the threshold for workforce participation requirements. Our second strategic priority is to establish the Gateway Education and Economic Development Center, and our advocacy has built momentum around that and push that conversation forward. Katie Larcel is going to speak a little bit more about that in her presentation. We've also done advocacy around the Community Reinvestment Act. We have partnered with the National Community Reinvestment Coalition in hopes of leveraging local Community Reinvestment Act funds to support the Gateway Education and Economic Development Center. Thirdly, our strategic priority is to promote catalyst workforce development projects in East Portland to partner with the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiatives and other urban renewal and economic development efforts to bring living wage jobs to East Portland. And on that, we are pleased to say that the Workforce Navigator Program with the East Portland NPIs is a success. For example, in 9 months in 2017, NADLE, the Workforce Navigator for Division Midway Alliance and the Jade District, signed up 365 people to the program, and approximately 24% of them have received employment. And this program shows promise for expansion to other East Portland neighborhood prosperity initiatives. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And if I could just reflect for one moment on the CEIP and, mm-hmm. and your engagement in that. That was a very, very difficult rock to roll up the hill. And I want to thank you personally, and I want to thank your entire group for helping shape the CEIP. I think it's a really important step forward, but as you just acknowledged, it's going to be fluid, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a document that evolves with time, and I'm really appreciative that you're continuing to engage on that. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Because it was hard work. Thank you. Hey, Katie.
Hello. You finished?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, greetings, commissioners. I'm the Reverend Katie Larcell, and as you may know, I've been a member of the EPAP since the very beginning, and I now serve on the Planning and Sustainability Commission for the City of Portland. And I try to look out for East Portland interests on the commission. It's a pleasure to be up here and reporting to you about this productive year for EPAP. And today I'm representing the Operations Committee, and it's a committee that often takes the larger view. We focus on how we govern ourselves and on projects that are bigger than any one subcommittee. And so because of that, I'm going to update you on a couple of the bigger projects, the Gateway Education and Economic Development Center and the East Portland Quadrant Plan. And Kate spoke a lot about the Gateway Education and Economic Development Center. So, I think I'm going to shorten my remarks up just a little bit. You've heard a lot about it. I think the one thing that that you may not have heard is that that Mayor Ted Wheeler is having us after this meeting. He's convening a meeting to bring stakeholders together around that project. It's a meeting that's really been needed, and I just want to thank you for that, Mayor Wheeler. And I think I'm very much looking forward to it. So let me just talk a little bit about the East Portland Quadrant Plan. That's got an unfortunate name, but the reason why we keep calling it that is because we want to emphasize how important it is. And because the quadrant plans for the center of the city got a lot of attention in planning hours. And we want that sort of a plan for East Portland. Right now, there's a couple of big plans going through planning and sustainability, the residential infill project, and better housing by design. You probably have heard about these plans. And it's going to be changing the face of Portland. So what we want is a plan that looks at East Portland and answers the following questions. How can we grow middle-income jobs in East Portland? How can we provide good quality, reasonably priced housing? And how can we provide reasonable transit to jobs outside of East Portland for East Portland residents? And how can we do that without displacing those who live here now? So this is something that we feel is very timely. You just saw that map, and I'm sure you all kind of, well, you may have already seen it, the map of a displacement in East Portland. But every time I see it, I kind of gasp. And so I think that this is a time for this kind of a plan. It's the time is now. And I was disappointed that money was not in the budget to begin this plan. However, we heard through Kyle Chizik that there was perhaps money available from somewhere else. And if that's the case, then I'd be very happy to hear more about that.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and excuse me. Thank you for listening to us today and for your support for EPAP. I'm John Mulvey, and I am a co-chair of EPAP's Housing Subcommittee. East Portland continues to feel the harsh effects of our housing crisis. We have more vulnerable renters than the rest of the city, as well as the fastest rising rents in the city. We're more likely to move than other Portlanders, and we're home to 40% of Portland's children. we are the least likely Portlanders to have seen our incomes rise in recent years. Preventing housing displacement, stabilizing low-income families, improving our area's substandard housing stock, and ensuring adequate and equitable public funding to correct historic disinvestment are core goals of your East Portland Action Plan. So you can imagine this has been a busy year for housing at EPAP. This time last year, our committee was considering next steps after the disappointing failure of state legislation that would have ended no-cause evictions and unconscionable rent increases in Oregon. That bill, a City of Portland legislative priority, failed in the state Senate. 2 weeks ago, my neighbors in East Portland voted for a change in the state Senate. We expect to see legislation in 2019 that will finally give our renters the stability they need, and I hope you'll be ready to do your part by passing a tenant protection ordinance on the first day that the state grants you that authority. Another city legislative priority was HJR 201, which is a state constitutional amendment that's been referred to November's ballot. It will repeal a 100-year-old provision that limits the ability of the city to stretch its affordable housing dollars further. We spoke to our legislators, submitted testimony in support, and sent committee members to hearings in Salem to help secure passage of the bill. We will continue to advocate for its passage by voters this fall. A core priority of the East Portland Action Plan is addressing the dire condition of some of East Portland's private rental housing. We've heard repeatedly that low-income renters are afraid to complain about leaky roofs, mold, and non-working appliances. For 2 years, we've worked with the Housing Bureau to develop a program to address this problem. In this, the second year of program funding, the results have not been what any of us would have liked. We've met with Bureau staff on multiple occasions, exchanged numerous written communications, and had many informal conversations in an effort to find a path forward to address this still unmet need. While we did not oppose the Bureau's request to reprogram this year's rental rehabilitation funds to other priorities, we're not giving up on our commitment to East Portland's families who are living in substandard conditions. With the city's ongoing efforts to identify and register all of Portland's rental homes, we look forward to an environment in which next year's funds can be successfully used for their original intent. Another project that we spent considerable time on was the implementation of Portland's historic housing bond. My co-chair, Frieda Christopher, was a member of the committee that created the framework for spending those bond dollars, and our committee gave detailed comments at multiple points in the framework's development. We're anxiously awaiting an announcement on the first bond purchases in East Portland. Our committee also spent a considerable amount of time working with city staff, allied groups, and community members to protect residents of mobile home parks. These efforts have included outreach to mobile home park residents and meeting with staff from the Housing Bureau, BPS, and the mayor's office. In the coming months, new protections for mobile home park residents will be heard by the Planning and Sustainability Commission and then this council. EPAP will continue its advocacy for strong mobile home park protections as this process moves along. Our housing subcommittee has also partnered closely with EPAP's transportation and economic development teams to advocate for infrastructure investments that develop East Portland to its potential while protecting our most vulnerable community members. At David Douglas High School in November 2017, Mayor Wheeler, you told us, quote, "You're absolutely right to demand that transportation, planning, and housing all be worked together. There's no such thing as a pure transportation plan anymore. We have to talk about housing. We have to talk about displacement." We agree, and we will continue to press for meaningful anti-displacement measures to be a core element of all major infrastructure investments. We worked to pass HB 4007, which increased Oregon's document recording fee. That fund will support homeownership opportunities and permanently affordable homes for low-income people and veterans, and will bring millions to Portland to help transition homeless people off the streets. We've been close partners with BPS in developing the Better Housing by Design code amendments that you'll consider next month, and we're happy to say that several EPAP suggestions are part of the Bureau's recommendation. We've pressed Multnomah County to include a robust component of permanently affordable homes in their future plans for the Hanson property. We've also been involved in the creation of the state's five-year housing plan. It's critical that state decision makers understand the unique housing picture in East Portland and that East Portland is able to access new state funds. We submitted detailed comments to DHCS and are currently awaiting their draft plan. We've argued for robust community benefit agreements on public projects in East Portland. We've advocated for increased transparency and accountability at Prosper Portland. And we've always been a constant presence in the fight for the equitable allocation of resources for East Portland. So yes, we've been very busy. As your designated forum for volunteer community engagement in East Portland, EPAP will continue to press at all levels every available lever to achieve housing security for our community. We know you share these goals, and we look forward to working toward them with you in the next year. And now it's my privilege to introduce three more great EPAP members, Jenny Glass, Arlene Kimura, and Naima Shaheed.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jenny Glass. I'm a proud member of the East Portland Action Plan for almost 8 years now. I'm also a Parks Board member and one of our EPAP representatives to the Parks Bureau. This fiscal year, our priorities for Parks in East Portland were implementing existing master plans at Parkland Park and Clatsop Butte, connecting Lava Dome areas to begin Forest Park East, and completing the planning and design for Gateway Green. For years, we've been asking for equity in spending in East Portland, and Portland Parks has met that request. We're the star of the show. And the impact is very real for our residents. Our gay neighbors are enjoying their beautiful new Lewitt View Park. Ventura Park's new playground is busier than ever, and people of all ages are riding around on the first tracks at Gateway Green. We're anxiously awaiting the opening of Gateway Discovery Park this summer. Not only did we complete these great projects throughout East Portland last year through SDC funds and park replacement dollars, but we also spent time planning for our next investments. Phase one of implementing Park Lane Park Master Plan is underway, and last fall, thanks to you all, we adopted the master plans for 150th and Division, Mill, and Midland. Thanks to the leadership of Commissioner Fritz and support from you all, we have accomplished so much for parks in East Portland this past year. In the Parks 2020 vision, the goal is for all Portland residents to have access to a great park within a half mile or about a 15-minute walk from their home. This is a really big lift in East Portland, but PPNR is proving they're up to the challenge. In general, I think that parks are such an important part of our city. They're not just a vanity measure. They're an upstream investment in our community's mental and physical health. They are where 40% in East Portland, where 40% of our children are growing up. They need parks where their families can connect and community members can find respite and a sense of belonging. And this level of equity is going to require a committed, continued, deep investment in East Portland. And we just want to thank you for the investments that you've made and for continuing to prioritize parks in East Portland.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
So I want to credit the Parks Bureau because, yes, when you're doing a replacement bond, which is basically fixing things, it's hard when you don't have anything to fix. However, we have found ways to redo the Argay tennis courts and greatly improve Ventura Park at the same time as making it more accessible and providing a loo. I'm very happy with all the loos we're putting in East Portland. Moving forward, when I had a small group visiting with my office to give me my annual report card, my question is, and it's for you, not to answer now but for discussion, you've long time had Park Lane and Clatsop Butte as your top priorities for the next parks to be done. given that we've now done Midland Mill and 150th and Division, whoever is the Parks Commissioner, I believe, will be looking for East Portland Action Plan's input into our Park Lane and Clatsop Butte still the priority, or should we move to quick implementation of the master plans that we've just done?
Great, and I think the Operations Committee is going to be hearing from East Portland Parks Coalition and setting priorities, and we'll be in touch with you.
Always helpful when the community sets the priorities.
Yes.
It's much easier for me, for whoever's the Parks Commissioner, to then implement them.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler, members of the Council. And yes, we are reviewing our strategic priorities for parks, and I will say that at least 150th is on that list. So thank you very much. We all also thank you for the effort on getting it implemented. I get to talk about transportation and the wonderful investment that so far has taken place in East Portland for transportation dollars. We're now up to 104% per capita income per person in investment in transportation dollars. And while I know that we've gotten money from the state to do Powell Boulevard, it has only been with the help of a PBOT staff who has helped us push this thing along, and our state legislators, we have managed to get that. And we do want to thank you very much for those the supporting investment dollars to make something big like the $110 million happen. Thank you again. We also want to talk at our EPAP strategic priorities, which are coming up for further discussion, and involuntary displacement. Excuse me. I am also working with the Getting There Together Coalition, which looks at transportation. But we have talked about you cannot look at transportation dollars in a vacuum. You must look at it along with the Metro Bond and the City Bond to do it in conjunction with transportation dollars so that they coexist and we provide infrastructure improvements for everyone at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Naima Shaheed, and I'm a part of the EPAP Grant Committee. I joined about 2 years ago. My timeline's a little bit fuzzy, but I've been on the committee and had the honor of reading all the proposals that have come to us. Just so many, and of course, not a lot can be funded. Not all of them could be funded, I should say, but we've had the honor of granting some awesome ones some money. And it's really good because it helps the community come together. It helps low income. It helps fund racial and ethnic specific languages, a part of just cultural community projects. And we've had projects were approved by full consensus at the December 2016 general EPAP meeting. 12 applicants were requested $104,264, but 8 projects were recommended and funded by the city for $74,996. And in March 2017, the general EPAP meeting gave full consensus to approve applicants. They requested $233,974, and 11 projects were funded by the city with a total of $79,000 and $79,000. So there's a bunch out there that would like more, but we can only give what we can give. So we're happy to do that, and we're thankful for you guys for helping with that. Yeah, I think it's great for the East Portland committee. I'm the East Portland community, and we appreciate you guys. And I want to introduce the next few people that are speaking.
Before you do that, the thank you is from us to you. You have made our jobs easier by helping us to redistribute at the local level those grant dollars to projects that you know are going to have the maximum impact and the most immediate impact in your community. So you're actually doing a lot of groundwork for us.
Oh, great.
So back at you.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. I get to see a lot of really cool ideas from the community. Of course, me specifically, I wish that we could give it all to them because there's some really amazing ones, but we can't do that. So with that, I'll introduce Ali Ibrahim, Kim Harvey Trijoso, and Mustafa Finney.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you.
Hello. Did you want to start?
Do I start?
Yeah, if you'd like, sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right. My name is Kim Harvey Trijoso, and I'm with Northwest Family Services. I'm a program manager in Northwest Family Services, a multicultural organization in the Portland metro area. We have over 35 years of experience providing programs for youth and families, and we want to thank you for giving us a grant through the East Portland Action Plan for our Peer Court and Family Empowerment Projects. We've been doing those two programs in East County for the last 10 years, and they've been extremely successful, and thanks to this grant, we've been able to expand it to East Portland and serve the David Douglas High School. These two programs promote Latino and culturally diverse parent and student leadership at David Douglas, and we brought a crew here. So I'm going to be introducing you next to Eva Rotrock, and she's our Peer Court Coordinator.
Thank you.
Hello. So I'm going to start with some numbers of our accomplishments. So this year we trained and recruited 24 East Portland students as youth attorneys and jurors for the Peer Court program. We've held 9 Peer Court hearings for this academic year. We had 4 Peer Court trainings that took place at the ERCO building, which was an in-kind space donation, and at the East Portland Community Center. And we conducted 9 Peer Court presentations for outreach and recruited students from the David Douglas High School Club Fair, Latino Parent Night, Black and Latino Student Union Clubs, Early Escalera Program, and Key Club. And next, I'll have you hear from 2 of our youth volunteers. So first we have
Annabelle. Before you do that, could you just explain a little bit more about what is the Peer Court?
Yes, she's going to explain that. Yes. First we have Annabelle Sukin.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Annabelle Sukin, and first, before I talk about like my personal story, I'm going to explain a little bit more about what Peer Court is. And it is an educative and restorative justice program that engages high school students in jury and attorney trainings led by licensed attorneys and staff. Students learn law/criminal justice professions and develop public speaking skills while holding peers with first-time misdemeanor offenses like MIP alcohol, PCS, marijuana, theft, etc., accountable without involvement in the juvenile justice system. Personally, I've grown up in the David Douglas community, and it's very diverse. And I'm coming from a multiracial background. I've grown up and experienced a lot of culture. And Peer Court has been a very empowering experience for me because it's shown me that I can be a leader in my community at such a young age. And because of Peer Court, I have now taken part in many other volunteering opportunities in my community. However, not only does Peer Court impact the youth that volunteer, it also impacts the youth that we represent. These kids that come in to Peer Court are not criminals. They're like teens like us who just make silly mistakes. And I believe that having teens their age representing them comforts and motivates them to be better. And I believe that's a key benefit from this program because that motivation is pushing these kids to be better, and that is impacting the future generations like mine to be better, and it's really important to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your participation.
Sorry, and now I'll be introducing David Guerra Nunez.
All right, thanks. Good afternoon and welcome.
So I'm David Guerra Nunez, you just said. I was born in Las Tunas, Cuba, and I am a proud immigrant. As a freshman at David Douglas, Peer Court has really given me the opportunity to help people in my community that I've grown up around all my life, and they are the same age as me, if not younger or somewhat older. Peer Court has, in the short time that I've been with it, I've gotten a lot of public, not a lot, but I've had public speaking opportunities, such as this one right in front of the mayor, and and that's, you know, something really special that benefits anybody who decides to join this. And I think that I would recommend to anybody around my age that this is something that can really help and aid in seeing if you want to perhaps have a career path in law. That would be really interesting. And up next is Latino parent educator Jorge Guzman.
Can I ask you a question before you disappear?
Yeah, for sure.
How did you hear about the Peer Court? What got you involved?
I heard about Peer Court. There was a presentation in Key Club at my high school, and that's how. And it just right off the bat, I was really interested. So yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Jorge. We have been doing some specific classes at David Douglas High School, targeting families, Latino families, mainly to help them develop success with their youth based on academic engagement, understanding the teen mental health, the development of the brain, and the negative consequences of drugs and alcohol that this can have on youth. Our classes, like I say, are targeting only Latino students, mainly David Douglas. And right here with us, we have a parent who has attended a few of our classes. We tend to do these classes once per month. And I would like to introduce her.
Jorge, is this a class for students or for adults?
It's for both parents
for
and
both.
Students.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Olga Rodriguez. I'm a co-facilitator with Mr. Jorge. I'm going to introduce our parent from the classes, Cecilia.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
I'll be translating.
Thank you. Do you want to pull up a chair? Would that be easier for you?
Sure.
Just grab one and slide it right up there. There you go. Thanks, Jorge.
Buenas tardes. Soy un padre de familia del Distrito Escolar David Douglas. Tengo dos hijos.
Good afternoon. I'm a parent of the David School District, David Douglas School District. I have two children, David Douglas.
Un adolescente de 16 años y un niño de 10 años.
An adolescent of 16 years old of age at the high school and a middle schooler.
Primero quiero agradecer a todos los que hacen posible esos programas.
I'd like to thank all of you guys for allowing us to receive these classes because of your funding.
Ya que nos brindan información y herramientas para una mejor comprensión hacia nuestros adolescentes.
Because these classes provide us the tools to help us understand the development of our youth and how we can support them.
Ya que es indispensable la salud mental y emocional de nuestros hijos y por consecuencia una mejor comunidad y sociedad.
It is very important for us to understand the mental health development of our teens and how we can support them. And with this, we can help build a stronger community.
Deseo que sigan esos programas para poder llegar a más familias.
We hope that these type of programs continue so we can continue educating more families in our community.
Para poder seguir haciendo un cambio positivo en nuestras familias y en nuestras comunidades.
So we can continue developing a stronger community and families. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and all commissioners. My name is Ali Ibrahim. I'm from SACO, which means Somali American Council of Oregon. Actually, I'm talking today a brief description about the work we accomplished and the importance of the workshops under the grant we get from EPUB. Really, the grant's name is Improving Relationship with the Community Voice. Because why we say this is because our community, as you know, most of them, they came from very rural areas back home, like refugee camps in Kenya. And most of them, they are not so educated. And few of them are educated, but the police system here in America is different than the police system back home. So there is a thing that our community, they are always afraid of the police. When they hear the word police or something involving the police, they think like it's something very big. So we came with this idea to make the relationship and the relationship between our community and the police to make it better. So far we have taken 7 workshops. Since these workshops, the police were educating our community how the police works, how the police system is in America, and the police are friendly. They are member of the community, police themselves. So we make these 6 workshops. We make 3 different workshops, which is women group, men group, and youth group. And the other 3, we make all together in groups. They really appreciated the workshops. Even the police themselves, they take an advantage. They benefit a lot of stuff, a lot of things from our community. So they explain it as in the workshops in different, you know, aspects, what the police do, how they do it. And according when the youth was taking part of the program, I mean the youth of the workshop, they just explained it. Even they encouraged our youth that they can partake and they can be the police themselves. So now many youth in our community are also encouraged, and now they are applying to be a police. Abdul Gadir is one of them, is here now today, sitting there. He's willing to join the police. So at the same time, we have other programs. The police referred us that we have many single women who doesn't know how to drive, and nobody's helping them. So there was a program which the police was doing, which is driver safety education. So we referred about 15 women there too, so that the police helped us. So now they have got their driving license. So this funding which EBAP gave us is very helpful, but the problem is we served like 300 now families, and it's very, very less. If we would like to continue this program, we would like to get more fund. And I will request anybody who can help us, commissioners, mayors. So if you can help us, because we are a grassroots organization, SACO. We are just started. This is our first grant. So if you can help us to build the capacity between the police and our community more and more, it will be much more helpful. Now we are also planning to have what we call a community tea, which we have to invite the police in their free time with the community together and have tea. Already one officer started, Commissioner, forget her name. Can you remember the commissioner who came to us in the meeting? Natasha, exactly. She came to us and she has a tea with us. She was very wonderful and she promised us she will connect us Sunshine Divisions who distribute the food, because some of our family, they have less food stamp and they need more food. So she's willing us to help more and more. So please, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, EPUB, we would like as SACO to help more of our people in Portland, Oregon, and also Portland, Oregon area. So we outreached 300 more people, not only East Portland, even in Beaverton, in North Portland, and in Northeast Portland. So we would like to continue this program. If you help us, we only need your help. If you help us, we can succeed, and if you don't, we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I would like more information, if I could get more information on this program, and maybe you could, Mustafa, could you just raise your hand? Maybe you could exchange email information. I know Chief Outlaw has stated as part of her ongoing efforts at the Portland Police Bureau to create and strengthen community engagement opportunities like this, to build trust, to share information, to build a collaborative relationship. And in particular, I'm very, very happy to hear that we are getting more young candidates of color interested in policing. We spend a lot of time in this room talking about police reform and police accountability. Mm-hmm. And one of the best things that we can do to further that is have the police bureau be of the community. That's my personal belief, and I know Chief Outlaw believes that as well. So programs like yours are really, really helpful, and I appreciate you taking the personal time and the personal energy to help create those opportunities for partnership.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your help. Thank you.
Mustafa, welcome.
All right. Hello, Mayor Wheeler and the commissioners. It could almost be a band name. So thank you for having us this afternoon. Appreciate you. I'm going to be doing the closing for our presentation today. And I thought I would just kind of do what we do in our EPAP general meeting, which is kind of do some success tracking. So I'm going to go over this really quick.
And I'm sorry, the legal counsel will get on my case if you don't state your name.
Oh, yes. My name is Mustafa Finney, and I am through New Avenues for Youth, and I'm your EPAP co-chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. All right, we heard from Karen. We heard Karen talking about an overview of EPAP and how important the work is we do. Obviously, you've heard that from everybody up here, so you know how important this work is. We made sure to reference our strategic priorities and recommendations for displacement prevention, which has guided our work and one of the reasons why we have been so successful. We heard from Nick, and he showed us how important budget mapping was in order to ensure the city is spending equitably. Once again, this project shows the diversity and skills of EPAP members. Very passionate and skilled, we have people like Nick who find budget mapping enjoyable. We heard from Natalie about health worker trainings and successfully advocating for ONI's money for translation and childcare, and the need to continually make sure our community members can participate, understand, and provide feedback. We heard from Kate around economic development, around community investment funds, and working with commissioners to make sure that money is allocated correctly and equitably. And the Workforce Navigator program with 365 people signed up, 24% employment rates. So that was very good. We heard from Katie in operations around the Gateway Economic Education Development Center and meeting with stakeholders, which we appreciate. We mentioned the quadrant plan and what we would like for East Portland moving forward. We heard from John in housing, renters' rights, and the raising rents. He gave us a snapshot of where our East Portland families are now and the dire conditions of below standard housing, but looking forward for next year and the chance to use those funds more effectively. We heard from Jenny and Parks and all the great work that has been done with park improvements and renovations, and including many different parks that we have been working on. Thank you for that work. We heard from Arlene and transportation and supporting those investment dollars, a reminder of, you know, not working on transportation in a silo and instead looking at a complete picture with transportation. We heard from Naima around the applicants we had for grants and the many different community groups that have come forward with many different amazing projects, and our ability to connect with those groups on the ground level and be able to, you know, assist them in these processes and make things clear and make, you know, city council more accessible for community members who maybe never thought that they could, you know, acquire those funds and implement these projects. So we appreciated that. We heard from Ali and their program around the workshops working with police in the community to get that education, also improving relationships with the community, having police in the community, working with these communities that have a past with law enforcement. So just bridging those gaps and creating those positive relationships. So, lastly, as you've heard, we've done great work together and hopefully continue and will continue to do great work together. I just have to mention on a personal level, I've been involved with EPAP for about 2 years now. Quickly was appointed co-chair. Was a little bit over my head because I'm not that political of a person. But this has been a crash course, I'll tell you that much. You learn the ins and outs of the city, and you really get an eye for what your community needs and how to advocate for those needs. So I have just been in awe and appreciative of being a part of this group. I joked at our last EPAP general meeting and said, where else would I have access to this caliber of people and skills and quality of investment and the time they put into EPAP? And you all know. You all know. So to kind of end, we are grateful that the council will be working with EPAP for our next stages in planning for the East Portland Quadrant Plan. And we just want to remind, you know, for transportation, it's very important, as we know. We need to get our East County families to living wage jobs. So thank you for all the help with the line that was put out there on 162nd, but also to future work being done to really fill in that infrastructure of transportation for our families. And lastly, like John said, investment in housing is critical because displacement is happening in East County. So to wrap everything up, I thank you for your work and collaboration with EPAP. I thank EPAP for all the work that you all have done, and thank you for letting me be a part of this great work. And we are very hopeful in the future of EPAP and where we're going to be moving into, and conversations of how we can evolve and grow and do this.